Chapter 17. Celis.
Uncle?
The drake was dozing, or just daydreaming absentmindedly. He looked up, startled, and then smiled.
Celis, I was wondering when I'd see my favorite niece.
Your favorite one? What about all the other ones you have?
Celis Shivertail smiled a bit as she walked over to the table, passing by a white knoll cub lying on the floor and snoozing. He pulled a chair out for her, and she eyed the cup and pitcher the drake was drinking from.
Drinking alone? Or am I interrupting?
He chuckled as she sat.
Hardly, but don't drink from the pitcher. It'll knock you off your tail. I'm always glad for company. I was just sitting and reminiscing.
Sounds good to me. And yeah, Aaron makes weird drinks. You should have seen this blue fruit drink she used to make.
Celis sat at the table. It was quiet in the inn, the only sound being the low buzz of Mercia's snores. Zell Shivertail looked at Celis with a smile. She smiled a bit awkwardly.
It's been a long time, Uncle Zell. When was the last time you visited? 4 years ago?
Could be. I'd visit more, but you know how it is. Duties and so on.
You mean fighting a war between the Tristral Alliance and Salazar?
You heard about that?
Celis rolled her eyes, and her tail curled slightly in mock annoyance.
Uncle, you picked a fight with a walled city. Of course everyone wants talking about it.
It was more of a trade dispute. Salazar was trying to enforce its claim over its gemstone monopoly. And I was asked, so I won the dispute, as you may recall.
And then the Goblin Lord showed up and you followed him here. You stay pretty busy, don't you?
If I said I came here to visit you and your aunt, would that win me any points?
The young drake laughed. Zell grinned as he eyed her from head to tail. She hadn't changed much. Celis was a young drake in her prime, just past 20 years of age. She didn't look all that different from other city drakes her age. She was dressed stylishly, despite the winter chill. Contrasting colors were in, and she was a hard worker, stubborn at times, opinionated at others, but a far cry from Zell, who was older, a general, who still wore his armor in the inn out of sheer habit. But they were family, however distant.
Favorite niece. I thought you were just humoring me whenever you visited when I was young. But Tekshaya told me you'd like me to say hi.
The younger drake looked thoughtfully at her uncle. He shrugged, a bit awkwardly.
Don't tell anyone I said that, or it'll cause some kind of incident. But I do mean it. Of all the drakes claiming to be related to me, you're the only one who doesn't treat me like a hero or a symbol.
Celis frowned.
Really? There's gotta be one.
Zell smiled.
That would be you.
Huh.
The two sat at the table for a little bit in silence. It wasn't a bad silence, for all they were part strangers. They had known each other too long to be uncomfortable with each other.
That's not good. If I'm your favorite niece, how's the rest of the family? You see me once every year at most.
He grimaced and turned his face. Celis still saw it. He replied as casually as he could.
Intimacy leads to strife, at least among the drakes. There's not a single older member of my family who I've had a half-decent conversation with. Well, except for a few distant relatives. Your Aunt Tekshaya is one of them, I'm glad to say.
That's good.
Indeed.
Did you see her? She said she had talked to you.
Zell nodded. He traced a pattern on the grain of the table's surface with one claw.
I visited her on the second day I arrived at Lascaux. She kept asking me whether I'll have grandchildren. Aside from that, it was cordial.
Celis paused. An unspoken secret floated between the two. Zell knew that Celis knew, but Celis avoided the topic as adroitly as any receptionist.
Grandmother is like that. I hope you had a good time otherwise. She likes hearing war stories, you know?
I did entertain her with a few tales. She liked me talking about knocking out Wall Lord Elvris. He's in the city, you know.
I heard. Why is he in Lascaux? Didn't he lose his entire army to the Goblin Lord? Is he coming north for revenge, too?
Zell hesitated. Celis didn't need to hear about his mysterious meeting with Ryoka Griffin, or the dark news she had imparted to him. She was a receptionist, not an adventurer. Ancestors. A receptionist. It was such a mundane job, and he had known her parents. The general caught himself glancing at Celis, only to realize she was staring at him from the side. She looked away, blushing, her tail twitching. Zell eyed her and then sighed.
Ask.
I didn't say anything.
No, but you were thinking it. I won't be offended. Believe me, I've met drakes with far less tact than you're showing. And that was my father. What's on your mind?
He waited as Celis mustered her thoughts. He expected any one of 100 questions for her to ask. He hoped it was nothing that would open a rift between them, but she had been younger when he'd seen her last, and too afraid then to ask. So, he waited. When Celis did come up with a question, it surprised Zell.
Are you, lonely?
Zell blinked at her. Celis looked back at him. He wavered.
What do you mean?
You don't have anyone in your life. And you keep moving from city to city. Everyone always talks about you like you're a hero. Unless you're telling the walled cities how stupid they are for fighting and not dealing with the Antinium, that is. But is it lonely? You don't have subordinates. You used to teach other generals, like Garusa Weatherfur, but now...
Celis trailed off. Zell looked at her and felt old. What a question. 4 years ago, Celis was a junior receptionist in the Adventurer's Guild, still arguing with her grandmother. Now she was an adult. He blinked and realized she was waiting for his answer. Zell coughed and replied after a moment's hesitation.
I'm a soldier, Celis. A general. I don't have time for personal relationships most of the time, and I'm not inclined to cause a stir.
I know, but if... No, never mind. Well, why are you staying at Erin's Inn anyways? She said you liked it here because of her cooking, but is that really it? You could stay at any inn in Lascaux you wanted.
Celis's tail twitched as she smiled at her uncle. She wanted to ask him more, he could tell, but maybe she wasn't ready. Celis turned the conversation away, and Zell felt a pang. Maybe in 2 more years he could talk to her about... Well, it wasn't as if he needed someone's shoulder to lean on, especially not his niece, but he smiled as he replied.
I like it here. It's, peaceful.
Celis half-turned in her chair to eye Mercia.
That's true, but only half the time. Erin's Inn always has something weird going on, Uncle. Have you seen her do anything crazy?
He laughed.
Occasionally, but I still appreciate staying here. Despite her mistakes, Miss Solstice is quite caring, and her staff works hard. The little gnoll also keeps me on my toes. Well, it's better being here.
So you'll stay here longer? Or are you going? No one asked you to fight the Goblin Lord, you know.
No, but it's my duty.
Celis's forehead wrinkled. It reminded Zell of her growing up, making the same expression when she was vexed.
Don't you get a break? You're a hero of 2 Antinium Wars. Don't you wish you could tell everyone to leave you alone for a while?
Zell paused. He'd taken a sip of the drink in his cup, and the inn pressed down on him for a moment. He lowered the cup and sat quietly for a moment.
Sometimes, Celis. Sometimes. But whatever I want doesn't matter. I have to be the shield of the Drakes. I am that symbol. For however much I am ignored politically. Drakes are a curious people. We fight, we squabble and tear each other down, but we sacrifice for each other too.
She looked at him, ready to be angry, but that anger drained away as she looked at her uncle's face. Zell shrugged self-consciously.
Sorry about the philosophy. I suppose I'm just nostalgic. Miss Saren served me what she calls her fairy flower drink, and it's quite something.
Oh, that? Don't drink that!
Celis reached over and pushed the cup away from Zell. She rolled her eyes.
Honestly, I told Aaron that's not a drink you give... Are you okay, Uncle?
Never better. And I'm quite all right, Celis. Don't worry about it. It was an interesting experience.
Zell sat up in his chair as Celis regarded the pitcher with a disgusted look. He smiled.
Enough about me. I'm sure you've heard all the stories. Most of them untrue, I'll wager. What about you, Celis? Tell me about your job. Are you still working at the Adventurer's Guild?
Yes, and there's nothing interesting about it, Uncle. It's just a job.
Tekshaya tells me you work hard.
She never says that to my face. Look, I get paid and then I have fun. It's nothing, Uncle. I'm not a child anymore.
So you've given up on being a dashing adventurer?
Celis's scales reddened, standing out on her green complexion.
That was when I was 12, Uncle.
I still remember you practicing with a sword and begging me to teach you how to claw fight.
Ancestors, please don't bring that up.
The young Drake woman covered her face in embarrassment. Zell laughed and relented.
Very well. Your job is satisfyingly boring, then?
Celis nodded in relief.
The most excitement I have is coming here. Did you know I met Erin the first week she arrived here? She walked into the Adventurer's Guild.
Really? Tell me about that.
If you insist. Okay, I was working at the desk when she just walked in and asked if this place was a smithy. She didn't read the sign or anything, which, if you know Aaron, is typical of her.
Celis scooted her chair closer to the table. Zell smiled as he abandoned his drink and his quiet mood. He let Celis talk about meeting Aaron, her job, her attempts at dating, the fights she'd had with her grandmother, and then they ate dinner together. They were more friends than uncle and niece, and when Celis said goodbye, it was fondly, with a kiss on the cheek.
Next time you can visit me, just not when I'm at work, okay, Uncle? If you walk into the Adventurer's Guild, every Drake you know will want to shake your claw or kiss your feet or something.
I'll remember that.
Zell smiled as Celis bade him goodbye. 3 days later, he left for the north. Celis heard of his alliance with Magnolia Reinhardt 2 days after that. She never talked to him again. but sometimes she remembered what her grandmother had told her, and she wondered.
Celis?
She jerked and sat up. Celis Shivertail looked around as memory was upstaged by reality. She saw Erin looking at her and realized half the adventurers in the room were looking at her. Guiltily, Celis sat up.
Sorry. What did I miss?
We were getting to the monster, or thing these goblins found in the dungeon.
Typhonia stroked his beard as he stood with his team around the table. Celis, sitting at another table Erin had pulled closer, glanced at the five goblins sitting in the center of an audience of people. Five adventuring teams filled the inn. The Silver Swords, the Half-Seekers, Griffin Hunt, the Horns of Hammerod, and the team of Vuleel Dre. Added to them was Olesim and Celis, both of whom had been summoned at the news of what had transpired in the dungeon. It was a headache, and Celis was already wondering how her grandmother would take the news. Probably by telling Vuleel Dre to go right back in the dungeon and get eaten. She glanced at Olesim, wondering how the strategist was taking the news. Then she realized the goblins were talking. Well, sort of talking. Between the five of them, they'd said very little. Their speaker, the goblin that Erin said was named Numbtongue, was reticent, and the others preferred to gesture with their hands and bodies. They'd plotted a course through the dungeon, pausing to answer questions from the adventurers of what they'd seen. It was the mundane descriptions and pausing to ask, "What does that mean?" that had made Celis trail off. Now, however, the adventurers were focused, listening to the description of Face Collector, the monster that the goblins had met. The name was what Erin had dubbed him, and it bothered Celis that his description was so close to Skinner's. It bothered the other adventurers, too.
"Tell us again what you saw, and one of you answer in words. I'm sick of sign language."
Revy glared at the other goblins. They glanced at each other, and four of them poked Numbtongue. He glared, but answered.
"Head sticking out from around corner, watching us. Like this."
Head Scratcher got up and hurried over to the inn's door. He opened it, stared at the rain pounding down, and then hurried into the kitchen instead. All of the adventurers watched as Head Scratcher's head poked out, wide and staring. Celis grimaced as she imagined that following her down a dark tunnel. Erin shuddered.
That's creepy. You said there was a head staring at you? Just like that?
All four goblins nodded. Hallrock looked at Jellicoe.
Ring a bell?
The selfie shook her head.
Nothing. And I've seen freaks and boleros who collect all kinds of things. But that's soldiers and bounty hunters, not a monster. Yulos, you run into something like this?
Not us. And that paralysis effect.
What did the heads look like?
Yvlon interrupted the gold rank adventurers. She stared hard at Numbtongue. He hesitated.
Bald man. Older beard.
He looked at the others and they nodded. Yvlon turned to Celis. The blonde woman was grim.
Does that match any of the descriptions of the missing adventurers?
All eyes turned to Celis. She hesitated as she flipped through her notes. Adventurers came and went, but she had a few written descriptions of some of the adventuring teams who'd gone into the dungeon and never come back.
Bald? Human? It could be one of two adventurers that went missing in the dungeon. Oh, wait, one of those is female. Probably this guy, then.
She nodded at the others. The adventurers listened as she read a description out, and the Red Fang Goblins confirmed it. Celis saw two of the members of Vuleel Dre look at each other in horror. It was a grim meeting, for all the goblins had emerged from the dungeon with treasure. Treasure. Celis would have been shocked at the latest developments, but today she couldn't find the energy. She was occupied. So much so that the continuing discussion was just wearying to her rather than important.
Raskgar ambushes, some kind of guardian monster with a paralysis effect, and an excessive punitive magical trap. You think this dungeon's anything but a vengeance dungeon, Jellicore?
Seaborn looked up as he sat at a table cleaning one of his daggers. Jellicore sighed.
It's got treasure, Seaborn.
I know, but we might be in over our heads.
Feline cleared her throat politely.
Let's focus on what we know before we worry about the dangers. These goblins acquired the treasures Feline Dre noticed.
Right, which means they should belong to us.
The short dwarf woman burst out angrily. Everyone turned to stare at her. Anith the jackal beastkin covered his face.
Dasha, please don't embarrass us.
What? Don't we get a cut?
Yalaz looked at his team members.
That is a fair point.
All right. How about we give money to the idiots that didn't tell us they caused the attack on this skull?
Revy looked like she could spit iron. Typhonius sighed.
Revy! Please let it go for the moment.
No! Honest adventurers come clean about their mistakes. What do you think would happen if we lied about a disaster like that?
Yalaz glared at her.
That doesn't mean they don't have rights to compensation for information, Miss Revy.
Up yours, buyers!
The adventurers broke out into loud arguments, punctuated by angry flashes of magic crackling through the air. Hallrock breathed out slowly, irritation written all over his face.
Hey.
Celis felt a tug at her arm. She turned and saw Aaron gesturing towards her kitchen. Grateful for a reprieve, Celis followed her friend into the kitchen as the argument got louder. Celis sighed in relief.
Thanks, Aaron. I could use a break.
Aaron looked at her friend.
You all right, Celis? You were spacing out.
Spacing out?
Celis frowned. Aaron corrected herself.
Going like this.
She gave Celis a vacant, unfocused look. Her drake friend looked dismayed. Aaron grinned.
It wasn't that obvious, but you seem distracted. Something wrong?
It's a bit of bad news, Aaron. Sorry. I know I should be invested. This is my job, after all. But it's just that... Well...
The receptionist grappled with how to tell Aaron. The innkeeper waited patiently, occupying herself by finding a keg she'd stored in one corner of her kitchen.
Look, it's...
Hey, Aaron, Revy's about to pick a fight. Can you do something? Oh.
A drake edged into the kitchen, looking nervous. It was Olesim. The strategist saw Celis and Aaron and broke off. Celis bit her lip and her tail twitched in agitation. Aaron sighed.
Oh, darn it! And I was just about to bring out my secret weapon! Hey, Dressy! Help me lift this!
Another drake hurried into the kitchen. She waved at Celis, and Celis waved back. Drassi was one of her good friends, but the barmaid was working, so she headed back out of the kitchen at once with Aaron to calm the fight with a stiff drink for everyone. It worked on Revy because, according to Aaron, she was nicer drunk than she was sober.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Olesim looked somewhat awkward. He and Celis weren't friends except through Aaron. She shrugged. Celis had a bad feeling in her chest, like a cold lump.
Forget about it. I was just telling Aaron about what's happening tomorrow. You know, right?
Tomorrow? Oh.
Olesim paused. He looked at Celis.
You know about that? I got a classified report, but how do you know?
She glared at him. For a strategist, Olesim was an idiot.
What's my last name? Scales for Brains?
I'm so,
He turned red and stammered. Celis shook her head.
Forget about it. I guess it's just as well that I had to come here, on my day off, to deal with this. It's not like my week can get any worse.
I'm sorry about that. It's my day off, too. But this is a matter for the city, and you are the best receptionist in the Adventurers' Guild.
Oh, how wonderful for me.
Celis's mood was dark, and she really just wanted Olesim to follow Aaron out so she could have a minute to herself. The last thing she wanted was to talk. Unfortunately, Olesim's sense of tact was horrible.
I know this is a bad time, but, did you get a chance to bring up my proposal? The paperwork's all done, but I haven't gotten back a reply from the Adventurers' Guild. I sent 2 follow-up requests via Street Runner.
She couldn't deal with this right now. Celis flared at Olesim.
I'm working on it, Olesim. It's not my call to make. You can recommend your idea as much as you want, but since it involves an adventurer and monsters, my grandmother has to sign off on it, and you know she's not going to.
But the proposal...
Take it up with her, Olesim!
Celis stalked out of the kitchen, her tail lashing so hard it nearly smacked into Lionette. The barmaid stopped as she held Mercia.
Sorry. It's nothing. I was just taking Mercia out of the line of fire if there's another fight. Mercia, here's Celis. Say hi.
The gnoll blinked at Celis. She'd been running about excitedly ever since the adventurers had come back smelling of blood and adrenaline. Now she was exhausted. She waved at Celis, and the drake found the energy to smile at her.
Hi, Mercia. Are you sleepy?
I think she'll have a nap upstairs. Excuse us.
Lionette hurried off as Celis reappeared back in the room. Everyone was drinking, and the flames of anger had reduced to dim embers, so to speak. Celis noticed Pisces hovering next to the 3 artifacts that had been collected. A bundle of cloth, a bell, and a necklace. No one had dared to unwrap the artifacts, but he was having a go at trying to discern what they did.
Okay. Let's agree that the artifacts are the goblins, I guess. Dead gods, that's insane to say. But what if we paid for them?
Up to them.
Oh, come on. You can't be...
That's the law, Revy.
Oh, they're goblins.
Jellicoe stirred as Revy dragged her fingers through her hair.
Excuse me, but our team had a goblin in it. Not a good example, I know, but the Half-Seekers have had this argument before. What applies to goblins gets tossed at Selfids and drowned men more than you'd think.
The Stitch Woman colored.
I didn't mean your team. This is different.
What is different? Species? Gender? If you make an exception for those you call monster... How soon until that label applies to us?
Moore raised his head as he spoke slowly. No one had a reply to that. Revy looked like she wanted to stitch her mouth closed in embarrassment. Celis was wondering whether she should ask what was happening to Vuleel Dre when the door to Lyskor swung open.
Watch, Captain!
Olesim looked surprised as Zavara entered the room. She nodded to him and halted as she eyed the goblins and Vuleel Dre. She didn't comment on either, though, and instead made a beeline towards Aaron.
Miss Solstice, I hate to interrupt, but I need a word. Excuse us.
The adventurers let Aaron walk away with Zavara into the kitchen again. Knowing what this was about, Celis followed. She saw Zavara talking with Aaron.
No, your goblins aren't in trouble as far as I know, Miss Solstice. Ancestors. There's no law forbidding goblins from raiding a dungeon. And no, I'm not discussing Vuleel Dre either. This is, incredibly, another matter that involves Yorin.
Really? What?
We need to reserve your magic doorway. All day tomorrow and probably the day after that. We'll have people coming through. we'll pay you for the time, and we'll work out the mana costs, but I'm telling you now, I know it's sudden, but...
Why? Is something big happening?
Zavara looked surprised. The watch captain glanced at Celis.
Miss Shivertail didn't tell you?
Aaron turned to look at Celis, who avoided meeting her gaze.
No.
The watch captain paused. She glanced at Celis, as if asking whether she'd prefer to say. Celis shrugged, so Zavara went on after a lengthy pause.
I don't know if you'd heard, but General Shivertail's spotty was recovered from the battlefield by the humans after the Goblin Lord retreated. Magnolia Reinhardt took charge of preserving and transporting it. It took a while due to the, situation in the north, but a carriage is due to arrive in Selim tomorrow. We will be requesting the use of your door to transport the, remains here.
Celis felt a jolt in her stomach. She pressed her sheaf of parchment to her chest and closed her eyes. She heard nothing from Aaron, and then a faint voice.
Oh.
There was a sudden noise that made all three women look up. Upstairs, Mercia suddenly began howling. Celis closed her eyes. It was hard to be alive today. Celis couldn't stay. Not after that. Mercia had heard Zavara's comment despite being upstairs, and the ensuing commotion had caused chaos at Aaron's inn. Not least because there were 5 goblins in her inn. She was still... She couldn't believe that Aaron... She knew that... Her head was a mess. The receptionist left through Aaron's door to Lescore and stomped through the wet streets. Her wet cloak was being used to shield her notes from the rain, so Celis got drenched on the way back to the Adventurers' Guild. It was raining. It always rained in the spring. Celis had no idea why, but something about the spring and the fact that Lescore was surrounded by mountains caused the intense rainfall each year. Or maybe it was a magical effect. All she knew was that it made her mood worse, as if the skies reflected her feelings. The storm drains leading into Lescore's sewers were overflowing in parts, and Celis had to splash through backlogs of filthy sewer water and rain. Something was clogging the drains. Dead moth corpses, probably. It was a nightmare, because without those drains, Lescore would flood, surrounded as it was by water on all sides. And that was a problem that took top priority in Watch Captain Zavara's books. So she'd given Celis an order to follow up on Olesim's request to the Adventurers' Guild, which had incredibly made Celis feel even worse.
Damn Watch Captain, giving me orders. Stupid tail-wagging idiot. I'd like to see her try to reason with...
Celis kicked into the Adventurers' Guild, letting the door rebound off a wall and slam shut behind her. She saw a few heads look up. No one wanted to be in the guild on a night like this. There was a receptionist at the desk, and a few bronze-rank adventurers trying to claim bounties on quillfish. Celis would have happily stabbed them all to death if it meant having an hour's peace. Sadly, that was not to be. The receptionist behind the desk was a younger drake with pale pink scales named Nulska. She opened her mouth to either comment about Celis dripping onto the floor, which she'd have to clean up, or ask for help with the desk. She met Celis's gaze and shut up.
Is the guild mistress still here?
Yes, Celis.
Good. I've got to see her.
Celis stomped up the stairs to the second floor, wishing a pox on the idiot who'd decided to put a 4 copper coin bounty on quillfish. Drakes were supposed to be filial towards their elders, but Celis didn't care. A pox probably wouldn't even slow Tekshaya Shivertail down. The elderly drake was sitting in her office when Celis kicked the door open. Her grandmother was sitting in her chair going over reports and holding a spear in one hand. Celis paused as Tekshaya lowered the spear that had been poised to be thrown at her granddaughter's chest.
Oh, Celis! What have I told you about knocking? I could have thrown this!
The old drake scowled at Celis. Celis, whose heart was slowly coming down out of her mouth, spluttered.
Thronit? Who did you expect was coming in here?
Anyone. Assassins, a hired thug, some kind of monster. You don't get to be as old as I do without being prepared. What if I told you about knocking? And why are you wet? Didn't you bring a cloak?
Celis ground her teeth together.
I did. The cloak was used covering all the documents you made me take with me.
You should have put them in a carrying case. Honestly, Celis. Here.
Tekshaya tisked as she got up from her chair and fished around her desk. She had a hand towel for some reason and offered it to Celis. Grumpily, Celis accepted the towel and began to dry herself. Tekshaya sat back down and eyed Celis disapprovingly.
Well, how bad is it? Do I have to send a gravedigger out?
No.
Not enough pieces? An undertaker to record the names, then?
No, Grandmother. No one's dead.
You mean they haven't killed that Vuleel Dre team? Ugh. What kind of soft adventurers do they let into Gold Rank these days?
They're not murderers, Grandma.
Celis was mildly horrified at what Tekshaya was implying. Her only response was a snort from the old drake. Tekshaya had shrunk with age, so she was shorter than Celis, and her appearance was deceptively frail at first glance. She still had far too much muscle for someone her age, and her faded and patchy scales were the only real sign of her age. Tekshaya had been a beauty in her youth, and she liked to say that she was still a match for Celis, much to her granddaughter's horror. She was far different from Celis in many respects, not least of which were her old-fashioned views. She had grown up in a time when everything was tougher, and drakes took matters into their own claws, according to her. Celis didn't doubt it. The younger drake sighed as she tossed her dry notes onto Tekshaya's table.
I don't see what everyone's so mad about. Yeah, Vuleel Dre caused a disaster, but why are they getting treated worse than the adventurers who survived Lascaur's crypt? We nearly lost the city that time, too. What's the difference?
Tekshaya's brows shot together. She picked up one of the scrolls of parchment Celis had written on and tossed it to one side before glaring at her granddaughter.
The difference, Celis, is that the Horns of Hammerod and the other teams went out fighting. They retreated and immediately tried to hail the city after all but one team had fallen fighting the undead. They took responsibility for what they did. As you'll recall, they forfeited all their possessions to the city. This team hid from the moths they provoked and then lied to everyone after they escaped the dungeon. There is a difference.
Okay, but killing them? Really?
The old drake shrugged as she played with her spear. It was a normal spear as far as Celis knew. Barbed, a wicked weapon, but not the worst thing Tekshaya had owned. She used to use an enchanted glaive, but she'd switch weapons for fear of her prized artifact being stolen. Celis couldn't imagine anyone stealing from Tekshaya and living to tell the tale.
There was a saying back when I was an adventurer, Celis. The weak grow strong. Cowards are fine. The only hero is the dead one. But traitors and liars die first.
Okay, but that was then. Are you really saying Vuleel Dre lying about what happened is the worst thing they did?
Tekshaya shook her head.
Running away is acceptable. Named adventurers will flee just like bronze rank ones. Even incompetence can be understood. Disasters happen. But failing to take responsibility for your actions, lying to your fellow adventurers and your guild, that is the one sin we do not tolerate.
Celis gave up and threw her claws in the air.
Fine! If it's such a bad crime, you can figure out what their punishment is. They've confessed to everything. I Kevoles some statement and his signature and witnesses from 3 gold-ranked team leaders, like you wanted. Oh, and the goblins got a bunch of treasures, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know.
I don't care about them. If they found out more about the dungeon, write up a report and I'll decide who should know what. But those goblins are not adventurers.
Takshaya looked pointedly at Celis as she said that. The younger Drake flushed. She had gotten into so much trouble when she'd tried to spring Aaron's crazy proposal on her grandmother.
They went into a dungeon, Grandma, and got treasure. 3 artifacts. Why not let them be a team?
I will not have a band of monsters roaming around as a sanctioned adventuring team. This was your human friend's insane idea, and I don't have to listen to it.
Come on, Grandma. Please.
Celis didn't know why she was arguing on Aaron's behalf. That was friendship for you. She could see why Aaron wanted it for the goblins. They'd be allowed to take requests and collect bounties on monster parts. A goblin team? That would make them halfway respectable. But Takshaya was more stubborn than a gnoll with a bone.
Give me some assurance, Celis. Just 1, and I'll agree to it.
How am I supposed to do that?
Figure out a way. Now, was there anything else? It's late, and you should be in bed.
Takshaya eyed her granddaughter sternly. Celis tried not to scream. It was unfair. Takshaya still treated her like a child, despite Celis being the most experienced receptionist in the guild. Not that that was saying much. It was hard to work for Takshaya, and the Adventurers Guild had been a quiet place with little opportunity to advance one's class until now. But for all she'd worked hard, Celis's opinions never seemed to matter to Takshaya. She could argue as long as she wanted, but Takshaya never agreed to try out any of Celis's proposals. Aggravating, but at least Celis had one card left to play. She smiled angrily at her grandmother.
Just 1 thing, Grandma. Watch Captain Savara and Olesum want me to get you to sign the proposal letting Pisces put undead in Liscor's sewers.
No.
The reply came back instantly. Takshaya didn't so much as blink. Celis groaned.
Oh, come on, Grandmother. The sewers are flooding. I walked through 2 streets filled with water. There are rat corpses clogging the tunnels. More of those damn moths. None of the adventurers are going to do it.
I don't trust necromancers. Neither should you. This Pisces is a former criminal. If his creations go rogue...
They won't.
How do you know? What happened to that skeleton the necromancer made? The one that has an open bounty on it?
Celis bit her tongue. Why did the facts have to get in the way of every argument?
That was different. This is a small, undead thing. He'll let it work, and it'll be under his control. He'll check on it regularly. That's what the report says.
The old Drake leaned over her desk.
Really? Do you trust him? Will you take responsibility if things go wrong, Celis? Because it is my job to do just that. And I do not know, nor do I care to know, this necromancer.
Celis met her grandmother's gaze for as long as she could. It was impossible to stare her down. At last, Celis had to look away.
I don't know him, but he says...
That's what I thought. Until you're willing to give me something, you can tell the watch captain what I told you.
The young receptionist was about ready to punch her grandmother, family or not. She resisted the impulse, not because violence against the elderly was abhorrent to her, but because she knew that if she took a swing, Takshaya would probably knock her senseless and spank her. There had been an incident when Celis was 18. Instead of physical confrontation, Celis resorted to words.
Watch Captain Savaris says she'll authorize it if you don't. With or without the guild's permission, it's going to happen, Grandma.
Did she know?
Tekshaya's eyes narrowed. Celis knew her grandmother was trapped and took bitter satisfaction in this small victory. The Adventurers Guild had a say in the city's affairs, but the Watch Captain could overrule them. It was messy politics, but having a proposal go over Tekshaya's head wasn't good for her influence. The guildmistress of Lyskor's Adventuring Guild muttered several extremely vulgar insults about Zavara's tail and other body parts, and then looked up.
Fine, but you're supervising him the entire time he and his creation are down there.
Me?
Celis had been all ready to gloat. She felt as though someone had placed a rug under her feet and yanked it out from under her. Tekshaya believed in hardwood floors. Easier to clean, and they didn't stain.
Why do I have to follow by Cease into the sewers? Wait, why does he have to go into the sewers? The entire point is so that none of us have to be down there.
I want you to make sure his creation is doing its job. Watch it work for an hour. Or two.
An hour?
Tomorrow, I think.
But that's...
Watch him. That's an order, Celis.
Tekshaya didn't give her granddaughter a chance to shout, scream, or throw a fit. She had a skill she employed in moments like this. Implacable order. When she said something would happen, it would happen, and Celis could only obey or try to refuse, not argue about it. For a moment, Celis considered refusing. Then, a minute. Tekshaya looked over Celis's notes, grunting at the mention of the face collector as Celis fought internally. At last, she heard her granddaughter sigh.
I hate you.
Thank you, my dear. What's this about a monster that collects heads? Face collector? Why not call it head collector instead?
It doesn't sound as good. I didn't come up with a name.
First this Skinner creation, now this. It makes me wonder what insane group built the dungeon. This fixation with flesh and body parts. It speaks to a disturbing trend. See if you can find any mention of an older Drake nation that focused on necromancy and the like. Or have that strategist do it. I'll write him a note. Or you can ask this necromancer you like so much.
I don't like him, Grandma. He's an arrogant snob. Although...
Celis smiled wickedly as she remembered something that would get under Tekshaya's scales.
He is a good kisser.
The elderly Drake looked up sharply. Celis looked innocent. Tekshaya breathed out slowly, and then her mood changed. She glanced out her window at the rain, pelting the streets below, and shook her head.
Tomorrow at midday will be the time when Cel's body arrives. Celis, I want you to come, but only if you're willing.
Celis froze. She'd nearly been able to forget about that for a moment. She looked at Tekshaya and gulped.
Come? For what? To see?
Only if you want to. But I meant after that.
There was a painfully kind look in her grandmother's eyes. She got up slowly, her bones creaking, and walked towards the window.
His condition will be a matter for Watch Captain Savara and I. You don't have to see that.
I want to see.
Very well.
Tekshaya's shoulders were stiff. She paused and went on.
What I meant was afterwards. While Lord Ilvris has agreed to lend us his scrying orb, so we'll be in touch with the rest of the family.
The rest of... Oh.
There were only two Shivertails living in Lyskor. There had once been four. Celis's father and her mother, who had married into the family. They'd settled in Lyskor, but there was a large extended family that Celis had never met. There had been nothing particularly special about any of them until Zell Shivertail had made their name famous. Now they were considered lesser nobility in some respects, Celis understood. She had never so much as exchanged a message or letter with one of them, and she knew her grandmother didn't speak to her relatives that much either.
What will they... what do they want?
Aside from seeing him? Legal matters. They've moved quickly. Too quickly, the greedy idiots. Couldn't they have waited? You'll need to be present while it's read to us by the mage they hired.
Read what?
Tekshaya looked at Celis, irritated, until she saw the honest confusion.
His will. It's a matter of deep interest to your relatives.
Celis closed her eyes. The dull nausea flooded her chest again.
Of course it is.
A will? Huh, I didn't know you had those.
The next day, Celis was eating breakfast at Aaron's Inn, a rare occasion. She had the afternoon off, but Celis really didn't feel like eating in her small apartment or having a meal with her Drake and Noel friends. So she'd come to Aaron's. In retrospect, it was just as bad as hanging out with her friends and eating alone. Aaron was helpful, solicitous, and she made an amazing omelet, but she didn't understand Drake culture, and Celis had to explain it to her. Maybe that was better, though. Talking to someone helped. There was also Mercia to consider. The gnoll was lying on Celis's lap, her head being stroked gently by Lionette. Her eyes were still puffy from crying, but not red. Gnolls didn't have whites, so the difference was harder to spot, but sadness? Sadness was easy. Celis shifted and offered Mercia a bite of her cheesy omelet. The gnoll just curled up, though Celis could hear her belly rumbling. Lionette shook her head, and Celis guiltily ate another bite.
Of course we have Will, Saren. What do you think we are, savages?
Hey, I don't know what... You don't have lawyers? Well, you do, but they aren't called... Look, I thought it was new. Although, we probably had them in the Middle Ages, so...
Aaron grumbled to herself. Celis waited until she started making sense.
So, you have wills. Got it. And that's really important in Drake society?
Everyone over the age of 30 has one, Aaron. Everyone with anything to give away has one. I don't have one, but that's because I barely have more than a few gold coins saved up. I should probably make one.
Wow, that's so dark.
Dark?
Yeah. Why are you thinking about all that? Is it important to Drakes?
Of course it is. Aaron, how have you lived near Drakes and Nulls for so long without understanding this?
Aaron looked bewildered. She glanced at Lionette, who was nodding.
Okay, someone explain this to me. Why do wills matter so much?
Celis smiled ruefully. Trust Aaron not to get it. She was so observant, and yet she didn't like to believe the bad in people either.
Aaron, we're possessive. Haven't you noticed?
Aaron blinked.
Well... yeah. Sometimes I hear about Drakes being greedy and fighting over stuff, but that's normal, right? Humans do it too.
Not like Drakes.
Well, sort of like Drakes.
Aaron, whatever humans do, however greedy you get, I don't think you understand how bad Drakes can be. Remember how I said we have wars between cities all the time? And how we're descended from dragons?
Okay, so you're greedy, but is it really?
Lionette was nodding. The young woman cleared her throat.
Someone once said that if the world was destroyed and there was only dust left, Drakes would fight over who had the most dust.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Aaron, you've only really hung around Relk, me, Drassi, and Olesum, haven't you? And there's not much to fight over in your inn. Sorry, but there isn't.
That's cool. I know I don't have much. Wait, so what do you fight over?
Things that are ours. That's why it's not bad at your inn. But let's say I was living in an apartment with my grandmother, which I used to. We'd fight over pillows, cups, chairs, and since it was all my grandma's to start with, she'd kick my tail if I tried to keep it.
Celis's own tail lashed angrily at the memories. Aaron winced.
Okay, you fight over stuff, but I mean, that happens. I think we need an example.
Lionette leaned over to Celis. The Drake nodded. She and Lionette barely knew each other, but the Aaron education team was a group effort. She cast around and saw a Drake eating breakfast by himself.
There.
She pointed at Alessum. Aaron frowned.
Alessum? But he's nice. He never gets greedy at all.
Celis smirked.
Oh, really? Alessum's not nearly as bad as most, but he does it too. He doesn't share his food. Have you noticed?
Aaron opened her mouth to object and then closed it. Celis could see her running through all the times when Alessum had been eating here. Slowly, she got up and walked over to his table. Alessum looked up and smiled at her.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for the meal. This burger and fries thing is really good for when I'm in a hurry.
She smiled at him.
No problem, Alessum. Hey, I'm a bit hungry. Mind if I have a fry?
She reached for a fry. Alessum gently covered his plate.
Sorry, Aaron, but I've got to eat and run. Captain Savara wants me on duty, and, they're my fries.
I know, but it's just one, right? Let me have a bite from your plate. Come on.
The Drake hunched over his plate as Aaron edged around him. Aaron looked perplexed.
Just one? I made them.
No. Come on, Aaron.
Celis and Lionette watched Aaron try to sneak around Alessum and him gently protest while shielding his plate. He was as sociable as ever, but no matter how Aaron tried, she couldn't get him to part with a fry, and Alessum was gobbling them faster and faster. Eventually, she gave up and returned to Lionette and Celis.
Okay, I think I get it. But Alessum wasn't so bad, and it was really funny.
Celis just looked at her friend.
Aaron, you tried for 5 minutes. Did you get a french fry? Even one?
Aaron opened her mouth, then she stood up.
Huh. Hey, Alessum, give me a fry!
No!
Alessum practically shoved the rest of his food into his mouth. He ran out of the inn as Aaron tried to get the food. Celis watched Aaron try to tackle him and sighed.
And that's Alessum. There's a reason why drakes have wills, and it's to stop blood feuds over inheritance.
Lionette looked at her sympathetically, and Mercia raised her head. Celis sighed.
Do you think it'll be important, you being there?
No, I'm just a distant relative. But Drake Law says that we should be present, or at least told, so...
Celis shook her head. She got up as Aaron tried to pin Alessum to the ground to steal one of his french fries. He punched her and then apologized. Aaron rubbed her cheek and decked him. All in all, it was a fitting start to the day. And it was still raining. Somehow, for some reason, Celis still had to work at her desk for the morning. Tekshaya Shivertail had given her the rest of the day off, but Celis had to cover the first shift. It made her angry. So what if the guild was busy? Her uncle's body was coming today. Why couldn't her grandmother give her a day off? Just one. It was a miserable day, filled with wet adventurers complaining about monsters and petty problems. There was something about the smell of wet knoll that Celis couldn't ignore, no matter how long she stood at the desk. If there was one mercy, and it was a small one, it was that no one mentioned her uncle to her. They complained to her face, loudly, like any other receptionist. No one had ever really connected Celis's name to the great General Shivertail, the Tidebreaker, hero of the Drakes. It wasn't as if she'd gone around telling people her last name anyways. Celis lived in Lascaur, far from the city where Zell Shivertail had first risen to fame, defending against the onslaught of the Antinium. And Tekshaya Shivertail was a known figure, a former adventurer who'd retired and run the Adventurers Guild for over 3 decades now. So, no one knew or cared, and they were rude and annoying, so Celis could vent some of her anger on them as well. She glared at a human woman who was protesting how she'd been refused service by a Drake shopkeeper.
"And then he called me a smelly human. I told the watch and they didn't do anything."
Celis rolled her eyes.
"So what?
So what? I'm a silver rank adventurer. That Drake should open his shop to me. What if it was an emergency?"
"Was it?"
No, but..."
Celis sighed loudly.
"Right. Well, you can file a complaint. Or drop it. And let me tell you that if you file a complaint, no one will care."
She watched the human's face go red.
"Oh, this is outrageous! In Selum..."
Again, Celis took a bit of satisfaction in cutting the human off.
"This isn't a human city, miss. Adventurers don't get special treatment, and shopkeepers can choose who they sell to. If you want your potions so badly, try Kershaya. She's a gnoll, has a lot of good potions for a low price. You can find her on Market Street every day running her stall."
And that's it?"
"Yeah. Did you want something else?"
It was like watching one of the fish in the waters around here gape. Celis watched the mouth open and close, and then leaned around the woman.
"Next!"
For a second, she thought there might be trouble, but the female adventurer just stalked off after making a sound like a dying razor beak. Celis waved to the next adventurer impatiently. This was her life. It wasn't glamorous or fun. It was just a job, and Celis took a minimal amount of pride in it. She wasn't an insane innkeeper like Aaron, who could reach level 30 in half a year. Neither was she an adventurer. Celis had learned to use a sword and bow at her aunt's insistence, and she had completed her mandatory training course and earned her level 1 soldier class, as all Lascaur citizens were obligated to do. But she wasn't about to join the army. She was a receptionist, level 18, thanks, higher than average, but she hadn't leveled in... ancestors, was it 8 months now? She just worked, with no expectation of anything, really. She was a normal person. Or she had been, right up until her uncle had come to Lascaur. Right up until she'd met a girl named Erin Solstice. Celis closed her eyes. Now she was running about, and the Adventurers Guild was suddenly flooded with people. All this new responsibility was bothering her, too. Her grandmother was giving her a lot of work. She wasn't letting Celis give any orders for now, but she was old. Celis knew her bones hurt in the morning. She wasn't young. If what was happening was what Celis thought was happening, she was just a normal Drake. Why did she have to do more than she already did? Celis's life used to be simple. Work, get off work, go to parties, flirt, have fun. That was all she wanted out of life. When monsters attacked, Celis did her part and hoped that the City Watch or adventurers could handle things. She wasn't special. She had a special, unique friend, but her... All her life, Celis had known only one claim to fame, a secret she was proud of. She had an uncle who was a hero, a living legend who sometimes visited her and told her stories and gave her money for treats. And now he was dead. Celis looked at the gnoll in front of her.
"What do you want?"
Work passed by slowly. As Celis noted the position of the sun, she grew more and more impatient. By the time she'd signed out of work and had met her grandmother by the door, she was trembling slightly.
Steady.
Tekshaya's voice was soft as she led Celis through the rainy streets. Both drakes kept their cloaks over their heads, and they headed towards the city council's administrative building. Watch Captain Zavara was waiting there to meet them with a small escort of guardsmen. Celis looked for a coffin or shroud and saw nothing.
It's already inside. I haven't touched the bindings. I will have to be present, but I've insisted that no one else be in the room.
Thank you, Watch Captain.
Tekshaya Shivertail kept her back straight as she walked into the building. Celis followed her, conscious of the guardsmen's eyes on her. They had to know what they'd carried. There was an eerie silence to the building. It was never that busy. Liscor ran itself a lot of the time, and it was in the conference room, on the meeting table, that they saw. Celis gasped when she saw the casket. It was black wood, not furnished with any decorations, but the wood was expensive, and it seemed to take up the room. Zavara cleared her throat several times as the drakes stood around the room in silence. A guardsman closed the door behind them.
This is, I believe it came from Magnolia Reinhardt. She was the one who sent the coach.
Kind of her.
Tekshaya's voice was without emotion. She hesitated as her claws touched the lid.
Did that woman say anything about what, the condition of my nephew's body is?
She warned us not to touch it. Apparently there were complications with retrieving the corpse. And, no, nothing more. But he died in battle, Miss Shivertail. Miss Celis, that is. Are you sure you want to see this?
Celis had had that same question. She hesitated, then nodded.
I want to see. I have to see.
Very well, then. I'll open the casket.
I'll take this end.
Zavara and Tekshaya reached for the lid. Celis couldn't breathe. She saw a flash of light as the two women lifted the lid, the preservation runes to keep the body from decomposing. She heard a sound as Tekshaya lifted her end of the lid and an oath from Zavara. Then silence. Celis stared into the casket. She was too far back. She saw a leg she recognized, then a flash of gold. Trembling, she stepped closer. Her breath, her heart, everything stopped.
Uncle.
Zell Shivertail lay in the casket, his arms folded, his face staring up towards the sky. What remained of it? Half of his head was gone. His body was damaged. There was no other word for it. His arms and legs looked torn, and his scales had changed color from their regular greenish hue, as if they had been bruised or he had suffered some kind of internal damage before dying. His body was ravaged, and yet from his neck down to his waist, there was only a single unbroken piece of armor, a chest plate. It glowed in the dark room, shining gold and red with magic. It was beautiful, but Celis only had eyes for her uncle.
What happened?
Celis had seen the dead. She had seen injuries. She had never seen so many wounds on a single body. Zell Shivertail looked like he had been burned, cut, battered, and attacked from every angle, but it was his head that Celis couldn't stop staring at. That had been the blow that ended his life. How had it happened? Who had... Celis didn't realize she was standing at the casket's edge until she was there. She stood over Zell's body, too afraid to touch him. His face. His head. What had happened? Tekshaya's face was pale. The old drake stared down at her nephew, and her voice shook. The first time Celis could remember ever hearing such a thing.
A goblin lord did this. Goblins?
Ancestors.
Zavara was just staring.
Takshaya's claws clenched. She stared at Zell's closed eyes. He almost looked like he was smiling. It was just half a smile. Regret? Relief? Celis couldn't tell. Her heart hurt. Drakes were talking. She heard two female voices as she stared at her uncle. If she ignored the missing part of his head, he almost looked...
Watch, Captain. I want every walled city to form a strike force. I don't care what the humans do. Drakes must answer this ourselves.
Guildmistress Takshaya, I'm sure they'll listen, but that armor...
The armor?
Celis blinked and looked away from Zell. For the second time, she looked at the armor and finally took it in. Her eyes widened. Takshaya frowned at the metal.
Zell never had an artifact so powerful, and this is no common breastplate. What in the name of Israel is...
She breathed in sharply and backed up. Zavara and Celis looked at her. Tekshaya's voice was a whisper.
That scheming human woman had it. This is it. The heart flame breastplate.
Both drakes gaped at her. Zavara stared at the fiery metal, her eyes round.
That can't be. It was lost centuries ago. You're telling me the Reinhardts had it, and she gave it to General Shivertail? Why didn't she take it back?
I don't know, but it must be. Look at the metal. It's unscratched. She gave this relic to him, and still...
Tekshaya's voice broke.
She left it with him? Why? To honor him?
To apologize, maybe.
Celis's voice was soft. Both Drake women looked at her. Zavara shook her head, her wonder broken by the reality of the moment.
If she did, I'm sorry, Mrs. Shivertail, but this has to be reported. An artifact like this, it was General Shivertail's, but I don't know what will happen to it after his death.
Nothing simpler. It will go to his heirs. His home city, perhaps. Or maybe he left it to a walled city. Another general.
Tekshaya's voice turned bitter. She flicked her claws at the armor, staring again at Zell's face.
It doesn't matter. It's a pretty gesture. That's all, Watch Captain.
They stood in silence again. Celis didn't know how long. She just stared at Zell's body. Part of her wished she could imagine him getting up, but she couldn't. He was dead. And the reality of that was smell and sight and... What was she supposed to do? Zavara was the first to speak.
I'll have someone remove the armor before the funeral.
She sounded guilty, as if ashamed to say it. Celis and Takshaya nodded absently. Taking armor and the possessions of the dead was standard practice. Few people were buried with their artifacts, and those that were tended to construct entire dungeons to protect their treasures. Grave robbers would loot any corpse for the smallest of treasures, and this armor would see every graveyard in Lyskor dug up within the week. Celis knew that, but she hated imagining someone touching Zell's body.
I suppose we should attend to the next matter. We've taken a while as it is. Guildmistress Takshaya, Miss Celis, with your permission, I'd like to activate the scrying orb and let General Shivertail's family observe.
What? Oh.
Celis started, remembering what Takshaya had said. Her grandmother nodded.
We might as well. Activate your orb, Watch Captain. And may the ancestors give them the decency to speak well of Zell.
That was a curious thing to say. Zavara paused before she lifted the palm-sized scrying orb. Celis didn't see what she did or said. She was too busy staring. Again. It felt wrong to look at her uncle. She wanted to cover the casket as if he was naked. She shouldn't have looked at him. She shouldn't have been here.
Watch, Captain, Texia. And is that your daughter?
My granddaughter.
A voice made Celis look up. She stared into the scrying orb. An older drake, perhaps 10 years younger than Texia, was standing at the head of a crowd of drakes, all with green or some variation of green scales. The most distinct colorations Celis saw were a pale yellow and a light blue, the Shivertail family. They stood awkwardly, not one cohesive whole, but Celis recognized some of them anyways, if not by name, by the way they stood. Some were dressed richly, others in common clothes. One wore armor, another looked like he was a soldier off duty. They stared into the scrying orb, crammed too tightly together owing to the constraints of the artifact Zavara held.
Ah, yes, your granddaughter. I forgot she was living with you.
The old male drake nodded at Texia. She nodded back without any real love in her eyes. A drake woman, younger than the male speaker, raised her voice impatiently.
We didn't come here to exchange pleasantries. We came here to read my brother's swill.
And see his body.
The old drake looked at her with a scathing glance. She returned it. They were both dressed finely. Was the female drake Uncle Zell's sister? Then who was the... Zavara cleared her throat uncomfortably.
The casket has been opened, and we have identified General Shivertail. I should warn you, though, Mr. Shivertail. Your son's body is...
Show me.
The word was a command. Zavara hesitated and then slowly walked over to the open casket. She tilted the orb, and Celis heard a gasp of shock from the assembled drakes. One stumbled back, laughing nervously. Celis heard a scream and saw two drake children staring at the body, pale-faced. The girl hid behind her mother. The other drakes closed their eyes or turned away. But Zell's father, if that's who he was, made no such reaction.
Ah.
The oldest drake stared at his son for a second. The sound he made was a bit surprised, but nothing more. Celis waited, but the drake just looked lost as he gazed into the casket. He looked around blankly at the other distraught drakes, and a flame seemed to ignite in him.
Stand up! Don't turn away!
The other drakes obeyed him, straightening, forcing their heads back to grimace at the sight in the coffin. Some of them had never seen a dead body, Celis realized. It was something she had seen, however rarely, but these drakes lived in a place where that was an alien concept. Until now. Zell's father stared into the casket while the rest of his family fidgeted or looked away. Only the military drakes could watch. Celis saw tears in the eyes of the one wearing armor. She envied him. All of hers had gone far away.
That's enough. Close the casket, Watch Captain. I've seen her. My son is dead.
The elder Shivertail's voice rasped hoarsely. Zavara nodded to Texia and put the scrying orb down for a moment. The lid closed. Celis stared at the black wood, remembering what was inside.
What was he wearing?
That came from Zell's sister. She fanned at her lips with a handkerchief, looking pale. Watch Captain Zavara hesitated.
That was the armor General Shivertail was wearing when he fell, Miss Shivertail. It was a gift to him by Magnolia Reinhardt, I believe.
A powerful artifact?
Yes, ma'am. Guild Mistress Texia believes it may be... The Heart Flame Breastplate.
Celis heard a gasp. She saw several drakes lean forwards, and one stared at the casket.
Can you remove the lid so we can take another look?
You greedy hoarder!
Another drake exclaimed in disgust. Zell's sister fanned her face.
Why didn't Magnolia Reinhardt take the artifact back?
I believe she meant it as a sign of goodwill. It was the possession of the drakes.
And it was lost to war. We forfeited the claim as per the rules surrounding artifacts. If my brother died with it on, does that mean it was his?
Zavara exchanged a look with Texia.
Perhaps, Miss Shivertail, but we really can't decide.
That's a matter for the will.
Zell's father cut in harshly, looking at his daughter. Was she his daughter? There was no love lost in the glance she shot back at him.
Ah, yes, the will. That is the reason why we've all gathered here. Well, let's open it. We have a mage and my brother's last written will.
She gestured to one side, and Celis saw Drake in mage's robes come forwards. He looked nervous to be at the center of attention.
Oh, my lord Shivertail, my lady Shivertail, watch, captain, may I take it that you are the witness for the reading of General Shivertail's last will as to the distribution of his possessions and wealth?
I am.
Zavara nodded, looking pale but standing straight. The mage nodded. He pulled out a sealed bit of paper and showed everyone the magical wax seal on the top.
This will has not been opened or tampered with in any way. A Wistra mage has certified this fact, as have I. With all members of his immediate family present, I will read the will's contents.
He didn't leave anything to anyone else?
Celis blurted the words out. Everyone stared at her. The Drake mage shook his head.
No others were listed in General Shivertail's will. To whom else would he have given his possessions?
Zell's father stared hard at Celis. She opened her mouth to reply. His friends? Then her throat closed. Her uncle had never mentioned his friends. He was a general. He had allies, but he was always busy. After a moment, the elder Shivertail looked away from Celis.
Continue, please.
Very well. I will read the will from start to finish. This was personally dictated by Zell Shivertail, 8 years ago, I believe. A long time, but the will is still quite valid. Please save your questions until after I've completed the reading. Everything I read is certified by Truth Stone, and I shall begin.
The Drake cleared his throat a few times and read in a slightly trembling voice. Celis wondered if he was afraid of getting something wrong or just conscious of whose will he was reading. His voice was a drone, though, monotonous despite the moment.
I, Zell Shivertail, do record this will freely of my own will and choice, that my last wishes be recorded and executed to the best of the ability of those individuals who should take possession of my remains.
The mage ran through a lengthy and complicated opening to the will, specifying Zell Shivertail's assets be used to pay for any debts he might have incurred, and that his property be distributed to the best of his ability. Celis had heard the same clauses 1,000 times in other Drake wills. Of all the laws in Drake society, wills were treated as the most ironclad. When a Drake gave away their possessions, few laws in any city could challenge that right. At last, the mage came to the first real line of Zell's will. He read it slowly as all the Drakes listened closely.
To my family who have gathered here, I know not how I passed away or how I died. I trust I have died in service to the Drakes, and wish for only the protection of my people in the times to come.
The mage choked on his words, and Celis saw his eyes glistening. A few of the Drakes behind him looked moved. Some did not. That was worst of all, seeing the impatience on some faces, the greed. How dare they? Celis felt a bit of anger, the first real emotion in her chest since seeing her uncle's death. Slowly, the mage collected himself and went on.
I have but one request that I hope you will honor. Bury me with my...
He paused. This time some of the Drakes made audible sounds of impatience.
What?
I'm sorry. The will states, I hope you will honor... bury me with my...
Now all the Drakes were staring at him. The mage read
and reread the line in silence, and his face went pale. He looked around. Zell's father stared at him.
Read it.
Slowly, the drake did read the rest of the message. There was a perfect moment of shock after he'd finished. Celis's heart skipped a beat, but that was nothing to the uproar on the other end of the scrying orb.
He said what?
Does he mean... That can't be right. That has to be a mistake. He doesn't...
Unacceptable.
Zell's father stared hard at the mage, who was shaking. He snatched the will and read it himself, then looked away.
That is what the will says. It is a request, not a condition. It doesn't have to be fulfilled.
The mage hurried to assure everyone. Celis stared at him. He had to know, or to guess by everyone's reactions, what Zell's final request meant. The rest of the Shivertales were outraged.
Well, it may be a request, but it's in poor taste to add to his will.
It's his will, Aunt. Where else should he put it?
We can't honor it. There's no way. The scandal it would cause.
You'd think he wouldn't cause trouble in his death, but no.
Be quiet.
Why should I? When we have a turn scale.
Silence!
Celis saw the elder drake whirl, heard a dull thump, and saw another young drake stagger. The older drake was furious. He raised his hand, and the young male drake retreated.
Speak such slander at my son's funeral over his body again, and I will cut you down. Any of you!
He whirled, his angry eyes looking through the scrying orb at Tekshaya, Zavara, and Celis. Zell's father looked around, and his voice was iron.
This will is sealed. No one is to breathe a word of it. Understand me? My son's possessions will be divided up according to his wishes. This line was never written.
No one said a word. Zell's father stared at the blank casket.
We will remember him as what he was. A hero, nothing less.
There wasn't anything Celis could say. Zell's line burned in her mind. So, Tekshaya had told her the truth. She didn't know what to think. After a while, the mage went on.
To my father, I leave what lands I have been granted, as well as a portion of my estates.
There was a mutter from Zell's sister. The other drakes seemed to sigh. Celis relaxed slightly. The reading was taking place. No doubt these rich drakes wanted to see what they'd get. Zell had already made them rich, but who would get the rest? He was a general, and one of the wealthiest drakes in all of Israel. This was what most had come here for, hoping for a small bit of his legacy.
The division of my monetary wealth, held in the respective cities I have placed my earnings with, is to be as follows. To my father, I give...
It was a lot of money. Zell didn't name numbers, except in the case of a few drakes whom he gave a certain amount of gold to, or an artifact, but the sums involved made Celis's head spin. One drake alone, and who wasn't even his father or immediate family, would walk away with at least 600 gold pieces. And from the disappointed look on his face, he'd been hoping for more. Tekshaya wasn't named in Zell's will, as the mage divided his money up and his lands. Nor was Celis. They were distant relatives, and it would have been strange indeed for Zell to leave them more than a few tokens. Celis didn't want anything, but as she looked at the smiling sister, or as Zell had named her, sister-in-law, she felt strongly that no one should have anything else either. If Zell could see this, what would he say? Would he care, or just be disappointed? Celis shifted from foot to foot, her tail curling around her leg with her desire to leave, until the mage reached the last few lines of the will. It was a simple statement from Zell.
To my aunt Tekshaya,
I give her the spears in my armory, along with any of my monetary investments, holdings, or other wealth placed in Liscor.
Not much, I fear. We'll send the spears to you if you wish.
Zell's sister-in-law looked triumphantly at Tekshaya. The old drake just stared back, looking fed up. The mage coughed and went on.
Any other properties not accounted for in my will shall be turned over to my father or my sister-in-law, or nearest relative in order of relation. However, I give whatever personal effects were on my corpse to my niece, Celis Shivertail, in hopes she will one day become an adventurer.
Celis heard a gasp. She stared, uncomprehending, as the mage paused. Every eye turned to her.
Or to use as she desires. If said artifacts are lost due to war or the circumstances of my death, I give Celis a blade of her choosing from my personal armory and a sum of coins equal—
Ancestors!
Someone breathed the word, interrupting the mage again. Celis just felt blank. An adventurer? He'd actually remembered her. She looked at the casket and then heard a shriek.
He did what? That can't be!
Celis stared at the sister-in-law. She was pointing at Celis, her eyes bulging and rolling in her head. Why?
Celis?
Tekshaya, Zavara, everyone was staring at her. She didn't understand. Her mind felt too slow, as if she were underwater. She looked at Watch Captain Zavara.
What? What's so important?
The Watch Captain stared at her. Slowly, Zavara raised a hand and ruffled the dark purple spines at the back of her neck. Her pale blue scales seemed almost ghostly as she looked at Celis. She spoke, her lips pale, her voice shaking.
Miss Celis, if General Shivertail left you the possessions on his body, that means you are the inheritor of the Heart Flame breastplate and any other artifacts he owned.
Celis heard the words. She didn't understand them. She looked at the casket as the drakes in the scrying orb shouted. She remembered the burning armor. She remembered her uncle's smiling face. She knew it was important, but she was just empty. She looked around.
Me?